6 o'clock. So we will call to order the Administration Committee meeting for Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. This meeting is being held remotely by the governor's extended executive emergency orders. So we have myself, Alderman Transier, Peterson, Plocher, and then we have staff. We have Rob, Bart, Aaron, Carey, and we have our minute taker, Marlis, here. I see no one for public comments here in the building, as we have nobody. There's nobody from the public on Zoom with our meeting. So that takes care of citizens' comments. So business, minutes for correction approval, November 18th, 2020. Anybody have any questions or comments on those? Seeing none, we will take those as presented and approved. All right, new business. Admin 2021-01 budget report for November and December 2020.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to share this month. We've got 2 months worth of reports in the skip meeting part. You know, we've been giving everybody the updates on revenues at the city council meetings, so those are reflected in here as we've been talking about them. There have not been any updates since last Tuesday. Council meeting. We would anticipate, though, that income taxes and use taxes for, I believe it'll be October, should be posted here any day now for our viewing. Of note, just we were into 2021, so the sales tax sourcing has changed significantly in our favor in Illinois, so we will be getting more purchases that previously either were not given to us, but taxed elsewhere, and then, you know, we get a share of it, or not taxed at all. So our sales tax revenue, you know, we've anticipated, you know, various increases over the past few years before COVID, and then after COVID, obviously, that's thrown everything in flux. But we basically don't have any of that planned out in the budget. So that is an unplanned revenue that we won't know here until April what our January figures were. But once we do, that could be the source of a couple $100,000 in annual revenue is what we're hoping. So we'll see. But other than that, if anybody has any questions about expenditures, I'm happy to take them.
Thank you, Bart. Any of the committee members have any questions or comments on that? I'm seeing none. Thank you. That is an informational item until next month. So next item is Admin 2021-02, Treasurer's Report for November and December 2020.
Hey, Treasurer's Report for the month ending November 30th, 2020. Beginning fund balance of $12,703,923. Year-to-date revenues of $21,450,667. Year-to-date expenses of $15,371,280 for a projected, projected ending fund balance of $18,783,310. Then moving on to December, month-end treasurer's report for December, beginning fund balance $12,703,923, year-to-date revenues of $24,351,182, year-to-date expenses of $23,208,420 for a projected ending fund balance of $13,846,685.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions or comments on those two reports? All right, those two, if there's no objection, we would move those to the City Council consent agenda. All right, thank you very much. Next item is the Admin 2021-03 website report for November and December 2020.
Both reports are in the packet for you. We did see a fall off in Facebook followers at all of our sites, all of our pages in December. I'm guessing people are just cleaning out, you know, and looking at the new year freshly, but we did see a decrease in followers in all three of our pages. So that is just one thing that I've noticed. And of course, as the chart shows annually, we do have fewer site visits in December just because we usually have less going on during this month. But if questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Anybody have any questions on those? All right, thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that. And that's just approval for us. I know it says approved by committee in here, but that's informational, correct, Rob? Bart? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so next item is an interesting one, fun, should be. Admin 2021-04, disposal of real property, old bank building, and Kendall Marketplace property. I had this added on. I know Bart has prepared a nice little memo for us. So Bart, if you would hit the highlights of the memo, and then we'll get into a little discussion.
So the highlights are just, you know, general background in case anybody wasn't aware of, you know, what we bought the building, what we bought it for. We don't really have a use for either one of these properties. We were holding out of the bank building for purposes of City Hall. Obviously, that's taken care of. And then the Kendall Marketplace property, originally it was planned as a police station site in 2006, subject to litigation. We cannot now use it as a police station site. So we were holding it for civic use, park. Could have been a garden, could have been a public works facility at some point or another. But at this point, the market is relatively strong for residential in the region, which is not something we expected at the start of the year. So I know that Lynn had been consulted on this matter a few months ago and had said that there might be some, you know, local residential developers that are interested. And, you know, depending on, you know, them doing due diligence and then putting together a plan and then whatever their pro forma is, you know, that the property itself could be worth a few hundred thousand dollars at minimum. So the general statement is, you know, I think we've talked about it in various meetings that we should get rid of these properties. So we need direction to do so. And the way you do that in Illinois and with the municipal code is usually either through appointing a broker, which has some ties to it. You have to, like, assess the property, and then you're not supposed to sell it for less than, like, 80% of the value. Or you go out to this RFP process, which is what we did for the jail. You know, solicit developments and work through either a TIF agreement or a redevelopment agreement to get the property sold and then redeveloped according to our standards. So that conversation kind of stayed in place here. So I did include two attachments, one from our jail RFP process and another for Oswego's downtown lumberyard, which they had bought several years ago, sat on, and then put it out to RFP for development. And the general concept of it is you're not necessarily expecting someone to come to the table with, you know, here's $1 million and this is what I want to do, and it, you know, it happens. It's generally you put out a call for projects, people submit interest, you know, they talk through what they want to do, you kind of feel them out, see how strong a developer they are and whether, you know, their vision for the site fits your vision, and then maybe you end up negotiating with one or maybe even two or three developers to see if you can get the best deal out of it. And so we're looking for some feedback, not only on what you want to see on the site and, you know, how you think it should be sold, but just, you know, the process that it needs to be sold, we're ready to engage in this, and, you know, with the downtown property, probably embark on a several month, you know, discussion, negotiation, meeting process out of it. For the Kendall Marketplace one, I did throw out there that there's the ability for us to sell it directly kind of through a broker, which, you know, residential development here is still strong, so there's people that are actively looking for sites. It may be a little bit easier from, like, a bureaucracy perspective and a city council meeting perspective just to either pick a broker, or say, you know, we're open to having this developed and let people, you know, kind of be picked to come to us to say, yeah, I want to put townhomes or, you know, single family homes on there or some other residential development, and here's where I think it could work. So just because it's a blank piece of property, it's adjacent to a major commercial area and another residential area, it's not necessarily in the downtown. You're probably going to put a mixed-use building with commercial and residential on it. So that concept is thrown out there, but really we're looking for feedback from everybody on what they think we should do and kind of what it should look like when we're done.
Thank you, Bart. I appreciate that. How about we talk about the easier one first, Kendall Marketplace, if that's all right, and then we'll get into the one that's probably a little more complex, the old bank building. So on the Kendall Marketplace, it's about 8.5 acres, if I'm correct. There is some development activity going on. It is right on a main road, a collector of sorts. So this piece is pretty easy, I think, in terms of could we put it on the market? Could we, A, put it up there and sell it for, you know, market value or close to? Or B, could we do a simple RFQ soliciting a development proposal and price? What are the thoughts from the committee on this parcel?
I think it would make more sense to list it and then pick a broker. Then list it and sell it. I don't know how much influence the city needs to have in developing it. I think the residents would probably prefer more residential as to commercial in that particular area. So I think it's a pretty good residential lot, particularly with the other houses and park, which would be right across the street.
Good point, Dan. Thank you. Bart?
Yeah, to that point, I just want to clarify. It's in the memo, though. Because we own both of these properties, we basically can put whatever restrictions and development, you know, aesthetics in the sale agreement and development agreement. So we have the unique ability to say, I don't like this color, I don't like where this window is placed, we'll change the siding, really at our whim before we consummate the deal. So that's just, it's more power to us because we're the landowner.
Yeah, so if we wanted to say, you can only have 2 acres of commercial and the other 6 are residential, one story, I mean, we could do what we wanted in it as long as it's still legal. But yeah, that is a nice option as when we do a development agreement sale. So very good. Other aldermen have comments or thoughts on this one? Oh, Dan, you have another comment?
When it comes to finding a broker, is that something that we have to solicit publicly, saying we are looking for someone to list this property, so we would get contacts from a variety of different individuals who say we can do this, and this is what our commission will be, or can the city say we're going with broker X, and that's it?
My understanding is that the latter is possible. Choose them however we want, and then it just takes a city council vote. And I want to say that I actually posed this to Kathy, it's probably been a few years now, but I think that she said that depending on the commission level, you may not even need city council vote, at least as far as who the broker is. Obviously, to sell it, you know, you do. So, but I'll double check those things and then get back to everybody else.
Thank you, Bert.
Good.
I would be fine with residential that's conformative to the area on that piece. I don't have to get too picky about it, but I'd say, yeah, go ahead and sell it through a broker.
Thank you. Jason,
I would
do you
agree with that?
Okay.
Does anybody know what the market value is? Have we reached out to anybody yet?
Not recently. I know that this is probably early part of the pandemic. It might have even been last year that the number of like $300,000 or $400,000 was not aligned. So it's heavily dependent on what we allow them to there and, you know, how many suitors we have
for the property. And it has to be sold for not less than 80% of market value, is that right?
That's one of the methods. As with everything, there's always exceptions to the rule. Like with the jail, obviously we sold that for $1,000, which was actually probably more than the market value of the building. But there's like TIF law and redevelopment law and a couple other development related agreements that you can kind of package the sale as part of the redevelopment thing and then get around the other rules as far as selling.
Okay. And then, do you know, what do we have in it? How long ago was that purchased? I forget.
So it wasn't purchased. It was actually donated to the city by the Kendall Marketplace developer in 2006 as part of the approval process for that development. And so, like I said, it was planned to be a police station because we were big into getting the time. The residents in the area sued, I think it was actually before the development had been approved. The settlement agreement was brokered. We said that was fine. The thought at the time, and it's kind of been out there for a few years, is the large vacant farmland to the west of like Target was going to be like a, you know, couple thousand home mixed-use development. and that there was a thought that we might be able to trade this property for another property in Kendall Marketplace and then trade it again for another property within that farm field and maybe end up with like 20 acres instead of 8 acres, which would then allow us to build more rooms on campus. Obviously that never happened. The rest is history. And so we're stuck with this 8-acre parcel that we could do something with. It's just probably not ideally located for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is there can we put in restrictions that, depending on the size, that maybe if it is residential, maybe we could have a park or something included into it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got our normal development negotiation processes, and then really we've got this, we can do whatever we want as long as the developer agrees to it because we own it. So, you know, we have the unique ability here to say, you know, we want an acre for a park. When you sell it, or you're only going to buy 7 acres or whatever it ends up being, you know, you can put in there that they have to build playgrounds. I mean, it all just depends on whatever is, whatever the market can bear.
Okay.
So something on that, Jason. So there is a park right next to that piece of property, just across the street to the west. It's a full baseball field, playground, tri-court,
yeah.
Basketball. So there is a good size. It also has a sledding hill, convenient for current conditions.
Yeah.
But holding out maybe some land for parking, maybe a parking bank there, might be something very advantageous as the baseball fields on, with the parking the way it is, we have restricted parking.
Right.
So this might be something we talk about as we further develop this. So
that makes sense.
Bart, do you know, as this is part of Kendall Marketplace, is it part of the tax incentives that are on this property? Or is it excluded? If they did a commercial
it's
piece.
It's excluded.
Okay.
Yeah, and if it was, and you're triggering some memories that I tried to repress.
This gets into a complicated part of it that's very unpleasant.
Yeah, there might have been some properties within it that it was applied to, and it might have been the townhomes.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have to take a vote on it or whatever. So practically, I don't think there's an issue as much as it is. If it is in this, for whatever reason, we have to approve it. So.
I'm just thinking if they did like a couple acres commercial, they built something, and then they say, well, we want our tax rebates on this piece. I'd be concerned about that. So things we could work through as we go through. So. So direction on Kendall Marketplace, it sounds like broker, sell it, keep it simple, and we can, do we need to give any direction on terms or just move it to the council with basically keep it simple and we can negotiate it within that, you know, the solicited price?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't mapped out the entire process from front to back yet, so I don't think it's part of that. So I'll figure it out.
All right. So committees, we have consensus on that part of it, sounds like. So now let's talk about the old bank building. This one's a little more complicated because there's an existing building. We use the parking lot for city events, and we're currently using it for parks and recreation for some of their activities. This is one. There's also a trail that goes around parts of the property. So there's some potential city, civic, municipal use still there. So, you know, we could approach it with the keep it simple and just say broker and sell it. Or we can say, hey, let's solicit a proposal from a developer and then see what comes out. I think, you know, my opinion is let's try the simplest version first, but I'd like to get some input from the others and see what your thoughts are on this one.
I agree. I think it would be nice to broker it and sell it. Or you tear down the building, put a parking garage in, and then sell the rest off for commercial.
I agree with the second part. I just whack that building and go with parking. I mean, we already got hosed on the building. It is what it is. But I wouldn't say broker it because if anything, I want that building gone. It's in a bad spot.
You can't build vertically, right?
That can go vertical.
It can go vertical?
Yeah, if you recall, and actually in our packet, we have the zoning for that one. It allows this one. It could technically go to 6 stories, I believe, but the higher you go, you get some setbacks on the steps of the buildings. So after 2, you have to step it back. So you can go vertical if you tear this thing down. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean existing structure.
Existing structure. Pete has actually said that this could go another floor.
Okay.
Now, obviously,
it's probably not feasible economically, but structurally, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. If it's feasibly, you know, financially doable, I don't know, but it says structurally it can do it. So.
Is the lot big enough for a parking deck?
Oh, yeah. The city's taken a look at it when we did the downtown study, the calculations. There have been some plans that have been kind of real quick done that have shown some how a duck could work in there. And it'd be a substantial parking area, I believe.
Yeah, I know that when we did the parking studies a few years ago now, that the analysis had shown that it was sized okay to be able to do so. It's just there's so much underdevelopment in the surrounding area and then so much vacant property that the economics of putting in a structure are way off into the future as opposed to just buying a couple houses that nobody wants and building like at grade parking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what you're saying, relatively expensive too, are they not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Parking decks, yes.
Yeah, they kind of create.
Yeah, you're as compared to a at-grade asphalt parking lot, you're probably talking 10 times the cost per parking stall, at least, depending on the complexity. So long-term, it's a huge benefit. But a private developer is typically not going to approach that without a public-private partnership with funding from a municipality.
Yeah.
So could we keep a section just for asphalt parking now, have a developer come in or sell the other parcel, and then potentially look at making that a parking garage in the future? I mean, that way it's, you know, you can budget for it then, right, Rob?
Yeah, that's what you want to do.
That's all possible. I guess I would just chime in and say that the fact that it's in a TIF district is going to bring people to the table that are going to want TIF incentives. Not us saying that we're okay with giving up TIF incentives for the project. It's a probably likely component of the redevelopment agreement, and that in and of itself requires, you know, months of planning and understanding on a developer's part and negotiation, which it kind of leads me towards you probably want to do the RFP for this one just so we can gauge who's serious, you know, what their experience has been, whether they're familiar with TIF, whether they need TIF, and kind of feel people out and get a flavor for what they want to put up on the property versus a broker, which is then going to, you know, it's going to gather money for us, obviously, but then we still have to go through that development process down the road. And given the consternation that's happened with other projects, you know, citywide, not just the downtown, you know, I think it's probably in your best interest to retain some level of control over that development process from start to finish.
I agree with you, Bart, on that. Listening to the comments from the other alderman here, yes, it sounds like, you know, the teardown, retain parking, this is prime for an RFP. My only concern with that is how much of a control factor are we going to have and how overbearing might we get. That's where we start to get into problems is the municipality can always say, well, I want this and I want that, and that starts to drive development costs up, and that's when they start to back out. So that's where it's a catch 20, you know, catch 120 on this one. It's a potential issue. How simple could we make an RFQ or RFP on this one and still achieve our goals?
I think it can be very simple. You know, at least as far as the first RF process, I would say you're really just trying to get people interested and, you know, gauging, you know, what their capabilities are. So, you know, with the jail one, I mean, we asked for, I forget how many pages, and, you know, just a general concept of what they wanted to do. But, you know, a bubble plan would have worked, at least for the initial conversation. After that, you've got to dive into the details.
So, Dan, go ahead.
Can we negotiate in the sales price, if we do sell it to a developer, the amount or percentage of TIF they might be eligible for? You know, if we sell it at a lower price, they would get less TIF assistance for their development.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a component of the conversation, whether you want to
take the risk, whether the developer wants to take the risk, whether you want to fund it, or if we're okay with recouping some back-end dollars. I mean, there's a possibility you can sell it for nothing and then just take the TIF money after it gets developed and run, but then you're at risk in case the project fails.
Joe?
Much as I don't like some of the developers down there, I would also be okay with getting offers of trading for a better parking spot down there than a prime corner. With some money also.
Makes sense. Jason, you had a comment?
Yeah, just a quick question. Has anybody approached us as interested parties for this property yet?
Nothing serious. I mean, there's been inquiries over the years, but we're talking as far back as like 2012.
Yeah.
And obviously, Internal Investments were telling us they had the property before we did, and we bought it from them, so they didn't see any benefit in the development at the time. So yeah, it's kind of like had its chance already and wasn't ready to go, and
I will say I did have an inquiry in December on this project. This had already been planned to go on the agenda, but there was an inquiry. A resident reached out about the acquisition of the property. So there is interest, always has been. It's just a matter of who has the capital to do it. So it's not a small piece to do something productive and actually make it work. So to that end, do we want to proceed with having staff kind of come up with something, or do we need to give them a little more thought on, we want a retention of parking or some type of parking agreement? We want, we want the building tore down. I mean, do we want to give some direction a little more clearly, or just have staff kind of take what we have talked about and do their best at putting together a simple RFP proposal for us?
We should at least try to solicit some type of offers for it when we talk about tearing it down. I think we also need to include that the parking stays for the city. Without that lot there, there's really not much else downtown for people to park. But I do like the idea of keeping it simple, just like with the lot in the Kendall Marketplace. It doesn't have to be more complicated than absolutely necessary.
So with that, in that scenario, you want an absolute that there is a clause for city parking for city events, or it's used as public parking in general?
I would say public parking.
Okay. And Plocher, you had something too?
Yeah, I would just suggest before you tune ball that we move the conversation to the whole city council. I mean, it does involve more than the four of us, and I'm pretty sure Jack, you'd have a big say, considering it's pretty much her backyard.
Yes, part of this does is abut her property. I agree. So would we want to just move this discussion at this point, maybe update the memo and take it to council with kind of our direction is thinking, leaning towards the RFP, and then just take it directly out to council for this one before staff really moves forward?
I think that'd be a good idea.
Good. Okay. Bart and Carrie, I think you two would probably be putting this together. Does that make sense to kind of shorten this conversation here and move it out to the full council? Great. So on these two, it sounds like we have consensus. We'll move the one forward with a broker sell discussion, which would go out to council, unless we'd want it to come back here. But I think, are you guys okay with staff moving that forward with the broker option and then just take it directly to council? And then this second one, downtown, we'll move that to council for discussion. Good. Okay. Well, that was quicker and easier than I thought. I bet it'll be more complicated when we get out to council. Okay. Well, with that, does anybody have any additional business? If not, we can adjourn at 6:29. Thank you, everybody.
Night.
Have a good night, everyone.